November 4th, 2022, Ward Green here, 1422 hours. I had a huge day yesterday because I did I won't say gigantic, but the biggest laundry that I've probably ever done in this house is what I did yesterday. I did a big laundry. It was only really two washer loads, but still, and they weren't both large loads either, so it wasn't really that big, but the thing is, there were a lot of heavy towels, the big towels and things like that, the bed clothes, the linens, you know, so that takes a long time to dry, not the bed linens, but the towels, takes a long time to dry, so anyway. There's a lot of up and down the stairs to keep on changing, taking the lint off the filter and so on. But anyway, it was great. It was good to get it done. And then I put the garbage out also yesterday. After all the things I did yesterday, in addition, you know, to those things, so I was pretty ready. But I didn't get to sleep early either last night. I had a really good night's sleep the night before that. So I was up till about 5 in the morning, and then I went to bed. I only had about 6 hours sleep, but that's good enough. And now I'm not groggy because I only had 6 hours sleep. So what I learned about the Merrells is that they do have an insole in them already. It's this one. And it does. It's the one that's meant to be in that shoe. It's a size 8. It says on it, and it's on the back of it. And also, the other. So anyway, that's that. That was in the boot. So it does have an insole. And then there are these two, which I knew I had in the bag of all the insoles. This was in the bag with all the other insoles. Did I even show you that correctly? Probably not. I wasn't looking at the camera or the actual view that I was showing you, but that's what these look like. The ones that were in there, they have an arch support. You know, they're in the boot. It's in the boot. The Merrell has built-in arch supports. They're decent boots. Merrell was apparently founded in 1981, which is it's about 41 years ago. It's a long time, right? So it's interesting. But these are the Merrells, the insoles that I had just sitting in the bag, not being used. So, and they are size 8 also. They're size 8. They say Merrell on them. The other ones didn't say Merrell on them. The ones that are in the boots clearly fit in the boots. Like, they're meant to be in the boots. It's pretty obvious by looking at them. To me, anyway, they have to be the right ones. But these say Merrell. And these could be... These don't look like ones you would buy. These look like, you know, separately. These look like ones that were originally in a boot. In a Merrell boot, actually. That's what they look like. But I don't believe I've ever owned any other Merrells, so these might have been, I might have bought these, if they weren't bought, yeah, I don't know. If they're not a separately purchased item, Merrell does sell insoles, so maybe when I bought the boots, I bought these as well at the same time, but these don't look like something you would buy. Not today, anyway. They're not something you would buy today. Maybe 30 years ago, when I got my Merrells, I don't know when I got my Merrells, actually. I don't know if I bought my Merrells before I was married, even. I mean, these are old boots. But maybe I'll remember that. I want to talk about my work history, but anyway, these are the Merrells. I can insert these into the boots, into the Merrells if I want, because they're say Merrell on them. They're size 8. They're going to fit in, I think. I can try them. In the Merrells. But the other thing I did want to mention is I found these insoles over near my laundry basket. These were sort of hiding. These are the insoles that I was looking for. They're the air, the rubber. They have a name like air cushion or air. It's air cushion is a Merrell brand name, but these are something a name similar to that. Air cushion or air pillow, or it's not either of those, probably, but whatever they are, these are rubbery, very rubbery. They're all worn out, they're all, you know, dirty. They've been worn a long time, but I've worn these in my work boots, and I've worn these in other pairs of shoes or sandals. And I might wear them again. Oh yeah, I did have them glued to my sandal because that's why there's a chunk missing there. I glued them to my sandals. Then I ended up gluing a different pair of insoles to those sandals. They're my good sandals. I think they're my... Not the Chayka, I think the other ones. What's it? Oh, Oboz? Oboz, yeah, the Oboz. I think it's the Oboz sandals I glued the other insoles to. So I'm always working on these insoles with my feet, but I used to have much worse feet than I do now because I didn't walk enough. You know, I didn't stand up enough. If you don't get out of bed for 3 days, I was told this by a foot doctor or a doctor who I went to see about my feet. You know, I guess he was a specialist or something. He told me 3 days and you lose your, you know, perambulatory ability, or your ability to walk around, is lost in 3 days because you need to have weight on your feet all the time, or else your feet will lose the muscle tone and all the condition that they need. They'll lose their conditioning, and they will become, you know, kind of crippled. You know, you become sort of crippled if you don't use your feet. So that's why I had such problems walking around, because I had more than one time. I probably had more than 3 days when I didn't do much. And not that I didn't get out of bed at all. I must have gotten out of bed to use the washroom and so on. But I didn't get out of bed enough, and so I lost my ability to walk and not have sore feet. My feet would get very easily sore. Anyway, that's a whole different story. But these were, you know, I mean, I've had lots of experience with these kinds of things. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, these, I might want to use them again, but they have that chunk missing out of them. I think I'll try to fill that hole with goop, which is a glue, a rubbery kind of glue. That's what I'll do. I'll fill that hole with the glue so that will not be causing an issue when I'm walking, and hopefully it'll be similar. The glue will be similar in the rubberiness to this, a similar hardness. But these are cracked also. There's a crack in that. There's a crack right there. You can easily see that. On the cam, you see it better than I could see it. I think. There's a crack under right here. That crack. There's a crack. So, I mean, I have to kind of get the goop in there. I could glue in that crack, too. Glue it shut. I need to fix these, maybe. I kind of threw them away because I damaged them. And they were old. But you know what? I think I have... I believe I have the... I have another one exactly the same as these that I've never used. But it's the right one, isn't it? Yeah, it's the right one. It's the same one as the good one that I have here. The left one is the one that's damaged. Yeah, the left one's the damaged one, and it's the one I need, isn't it? Or is it? No, I have the left. I think I have the left one. Yeah, it's in the bag. I got the bag right here. That's right. Okay, so let's see what I've got. Yeah, here it is. I've got the left one. So this is what they look like, brand new. But they don't say what they are. Like, they don't have a name on them. They used to have a name. I probably wore these at one point. Yeah, they've been cut. They've been cut. The perimeter's been trimmed. So, you know, anyway, I've worn these. The name was written on them, but it gets worn off by your foot. I've got the left one. So, you see this? So I can put these two together. One is clean and one is dirty, but they're both intact. Undamaged. But they're not the same thickness. I just noticed. They're not the same thickness. One of them is considerably thicker than the other. To my eyes right now. Let's see. Or maybe I'm looking at... Well, I have to look at the opposite side. Or something, right? Yeah. got to look at them sort of like this, back to back. Yeah, they don't look too different. They don't look very different like that. I mean, depending on where you put, which one you put further forward. But they do look different, don't they? I think they do look different. I don't know. But they should, I think they're the same. I mean, I think they were the same when they were bought. One of them got swollen with age, if that's possible. But this one's cracked too, actually. It's got some little cracks on the edge of it. It's got little cracks. They're not consequential because they're right on the edge where your foot does not even sit. But I could use these. That's the thing. For something. I want to talk about my work history. I remembered some of my work history. I used to write resumes all the time whenever I applied for a job, and I used to write it all out, so I may still have those resumes somewhere. But I believe my first job was working as a tennis instructor in 1971, which was, I started grade 9 in 1970 when I was 13 years old, but that would have been the fall of 1970. And then I remember I was a tennis instructor for every year of high school. I believe I remember that. Anyway, it's either, I guess the only difference it might be is that it could be many differences, I guess, if my memory's wrong, but I think there were 5 years in a row where I was a tennis instructor from 71 to 75. Every one of those summers, 1971 through 75, I was a tennis instructor. And in the final year, in 75, I was the head tennis instructor. But is it possible I was not? It's possible I didn't start until 1972 also. That's possible, right? Or even, I don't know why that would be, though. I'm trying to think. Is it possible I could have worked? I don't think, it sounds very young to work at the age of 13 as a tennis instructor. So, it's possible I didn't start till I was in grade 11 even. Maybe I only worked there for 3 years. Maybe I'm just remembering this. It just seems to me that I worked there. It's not that I remember being young when I worked there as a tennis instructor, but I remember doing it for a lot of years. Like it seemed like a lot of years that I worked as a tennis instructor. I must have worked at least 3 years to become the head tennis instructor, but I think I worked more than three, probably closer to five, maybe five. I've written it down somewhere, so I'll be able to find out later, possibly, or if I ever find the resumes, I will know. I will find it. The other job I had in grade 11, I got a job during the school year. In the winter, fall and winter, at some point during the school year, working for the biology teacher, preparing lab experiments, materials and things like that, so that putting mixtures in, preparing these different mixtures that the class was going to use, or some class of his was going to use. So I had to do some work for him, and that's almost, maybe that was my first paying job. Is that possible? That could have been my first paying job. If I only worked 3 years in the tennis, then that was my first paying job. And that's what I thought was my first paying job. And then I remembered the tennis, and I thought, no, wait a minute. But I think that maybe that was my first paying job, and that would help me remember I only worked for 3 summers. That's maybe true. So I worked for the biology teacher, Mr. Engel was his name. That might have been my first paying job. Grade 11. So I did have money. So I think I did probably buy this watch. I probably bought this, or possibly anyway. I could have spent my own money and bought that. It keeps better time when you wind it. I think, too, it doesn't stop, for one thing, when you wind it. But we'll see if it stops. It probably will, or possibly the mainspring might eventually break or something. Maybe it's getting old, the mainspring. But to me, I'm not sure it's any different from when I first used it. You know, I wind it, and it reaches the end of the wind where you can't wind it anymore, and you stop winding. And but I wouldn't really have any recollection of what it was like. You wouldn't think, but I have muscle memory. Maybe I can remember what it was like to wind it when it was brand new. And if I didn't wind it too many times before it fell apart, maybe it's not been worn out. Maybe I can use it for quite a long time. Who knows? But I like it in some ways. At some times, I could take it off, I guess, when I'm not wanting it on my wrist. It's a great watch. But I think that makes some sense, that maybe I only work for 3 summers as a tennis instructor. That would make more sense, because at the age of 13, I don't think I'd even be, you know, bold enough to apply for a job at the age of 13. That's just what I think. But, you know, that. But the main reason I think that is because I believe that my first job was working in the biology lab, or for the biology teacher. I wasn't doing. I only worked behind the scenes, you know, in between classes or something. I guess I worked during my spare period when I had a spare period, or the morning. I'd come in early in the morning, I think. Yeah, sometimes, or afternoon, after school, I'd do something that he needed for the next day or whatever, or in the morning. I worked for him. Yeah, I remember that. It was quite interesting, because I do have a strong hunch that was my first job, because it's curious to think about it, because it was kind of like chemistry, biology and chemistry, and now I'm involved with vitamins big time. You know, big time. I really believe in vitamins now, and I'm taking them every day. Well, come to think of it, I haven't really eaten much today. I did have a few potato chips just to break my fast. I want to get out, and I don't eat as many potato chips these days because I'm not craving food as much. I'm going to eat some B12 just under my tongue here, 2,500 micrograms. But I believe in vitamins, and vitamin K2, I believe I need to increase my vitamin K2 even further. Until anything, or not until anything bad happens, but I mean, I will stop increasing it if there's any problem. That's what I mean to say. But I will not. But I need to keep increasing it, because it seems to be the fountain of youth. If I don't keep increasing it, I'm going to die younger than if I keep increasing it. I've got to increase the K2, and then I have to demonstrate whether it works or not. But it works phenomenally. The more I take of it, the better I am. But so far, that's what's happened. Yesterday was incredible because I did all those things, right? But and today I'm going to be doing more work outside, I think. But anyway, I can't take too much time here because I want to get outside too. But here's Oscar, and I might make another video later. But I want to listen to Oscar. I want to do at least some of our scriptures here today. Here's Oscar playing Soft Winds in 1979, wherever that was, at the Jazz Festival. There's a sign on the wall at the beginning of the video that says where it is. I forget where it is. It's somewhere, I think, over in Denmark or Sweden. Where is it? Should I find that out right now? Let's see. Let's look it up. Oscar Peterson. Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. I've just ruined my... No, I haven't. No, I'm good. It's good. I could have ruined it. It was the North Sea Jazz Festival at the Gebouw. Which is a Dutch word, I guess, in the Netherlands. The Hague is a city. It's called The Hague, right? In case you don't know. North Sea Jazz Festival in the Congregabu in The Hague. July 15th, 1979, Oscar Peterson and Niels Henning Orsted Peterson. He's got a different name, Peterson, instead of Peterson, but it's the same name in his language, I suppose, right? It sounds like a Danish name, because Ørsted has the Danish O in it with the line through it. O with the line through it. I don't have the video monitor. It's the O with the line through it. Yeah, it's like, yeah. This is mirror image, so that's probably correct. I don't know. So, this is Oscar Peterson, Niels Henning Ørsted Petersen, 1979, The Hague. Thank you. song, he gets up and bows. Every song at this particular event. And he gives his partner an opportunity to bow also. Yeah. Well, I think that was very nice to hear. He is Oscar Peterson, a Canadian jazz piano player. I believe, well, it's on record that he's won 7 Grammys. 7 Grammys. Anyway, now let's get to our study now, shall we, little children? I'm hoping we can do this study, that it will be relevant too. I never know whether the study's relevant or not. Here, it's of David at the time of his disguising his sanity before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. So, yes, we pray for your guidance, Jehovah, and your wisdom, also that you would, that we would be, we would like to praise you. That's what I would like to say. Praise you, Jehovah, for all the good things you've given us and that you continue to give us. And we ask for your grace, that you would give us your undeserved kindness in such a way that we would be able to concentrate on this material, in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm kind of tired, and that's why I'm thinking. I'm not really very tired yet. That's the amazing thing. But still, there's a little bit of fatigue there that as I'm getting in better shape, but I still have, there's some fatigue from yesterday. I don't think it's enough to affect my reading or anything. I'm just saying it's affecting my, maybe my ability to concentrate. I don't know. That could affect my reading, couldn't it? But Psalm 34, little children, I will bless Jehovah at all times. Constantly his praise will be in my mouth. In Jehovah, my soul will make its boast. I was thinking that yesterday, boasting in Jehovah. I knew it was coming, I guess, subconsciously. The meek ones will hear and will rejoice. The meek ones will hear and will rejoice. Oh, magnify Jehovah with me, you people. And let us exalt his name together. I inquired of Jehovah, and he answered me. And out of all my frights, he delivered me. They looked to me and became radiant. No, they looked to him, not to me. Excuse me, they looked to him and became radiant. Yeah, I don't know who they are here. It sounds like it's the people. But they looked to him and became radiant. And it's David speaking. And their very faces could not possibly be ashamed. Yeah, it's interesting because David is speaking and then he's speaking about Jehovah and about some people who aren't specified. You people, I suppose, he's talking about. They looked to him and became radiant, and their very faces could not possibly be ashamed. This afflicted one called, and Jehovah himself heard, and out of all his distresses he saved him. The angel of Jehovah is camping around all those fearing him, and he rescues them. Taste and see that Jehovah is good, O you people. Happy is the able-bodied man that takes refuge in him. Fear Jehovah, you holy ones of his, for there is no lack to those fearing him. The maimed young lions themselves have had little on hand and gone hungry. But as for those seeking Jehovah, they will not lack anything good. Come, you sons, listen to me. The fear of Jehovah is what I shall teach you. Who is the man that is delighting in life, that is loving enough days to see what is good? Safeguard your tongue against what is bad, and your lips against speaking deception. Turn away from what is bad and do what is good. Seek to find peace and pursue it. That was from the convention. Seek, pursue peace. The eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous ones, and his ears are toward their cry for help. The face of Jehovah is against those doing what is bad, to cut off the mention of them from the very earth. They cried out, and Jehovah himself heard, and out of all their distresses he delivered them. Jehovah is near to those that are broken at heart, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. Many are the calamities of the righteous one, but out of them all Jehovah delivers him. He is guarding all the bones of that one. Not one of them has been broken. Calamity will put the wicked one himself to death, and the very ones hating the righteous one will be held guilty. Jehovah is redeeming the soul of his servants, and none of those taking refuge in him will be held guilty. That's the end of it, Psalm 34. Well, I probably do have some need to draw upon the excuse of being tired in order to explain why my reading was not very good today, or why I wasn't paying enough attention, but it's interesting. They looked to him and became radiant. It came out of the blue, though. He wasn't talking about these people. He was talking about himself and Jehovah. And then he said, they looked to him. And so he's saying, I inquired of Jehovah, and he answered me, and out of all my frights he delivered me. They looked to him and became radiant, and their very faces could not possibly be ashamed. Now I see how it should have been read, you know. But I didn't see that the first time. And probably I didn't see that any other time when I read this either. Boast in Jehovah is very important in verse 2 there. Boasting in Jehovah is what we should be doing. Not bragging about ourselves and not bragging about the future, which can't be known. We can't know the future. We don't know our own future, because anything could happen that's unexpected that could happen to us. I'm noticing all sorts of things. Every day I have new problems. I've got my cream that I bought that's in my fridge, and it's been opened long enough that it's starting to, you know, biodegrade or deteriorate, and it's starting to disintegrate, or decompose, I guess is the word. It's breaking down. The cream is changing. It's still better than a lot of cream or a lot of products like that when they get old. This is just still better than that, but it's not good anymore. So I have to decide, you know, I got to scoop out some of the cream and see if there's better cream at the bottom so I don't waste good cream. But I have tons, like about 12 or more, I don't know how many, more of these jars. I hope they're still good because they're sealed up better. I don't know, they've been in the fridge. I'm not going to open them, obviously, because if I do, that will expose them to the air. So I've got to only open one at a time. I could open one more, but I already have another open one, which isn't probably totally deteriorated at all. It's probably still in good shape. Just when you open them a lot, oxygen will cause things to break down. When you're opening something all the time, even if you're keeping it in the fridge, the oxygen, the fresh air, the oxygen destroys things. Although we need oxygen, right? We need oxygen to prevent death. But oxygen can kill us if we don't have enough antioxidants to keep the oxygen from you know, destroying us on the inside. So, yeah, I wonder if this K2 is an antioxidant. That's something I could research or investigate, I suppose. But, I mean, it's not just vitamin K2 that I need to investigate if I want to live healthy and long. There's all the other vitamins, all the other elements like iodine, B12. I mean, there's all the B vitamins. There's vitamin C, of course. That might prolong our life if we take more of it every day, but I don't know that. But it might have a huge effect on longevity. I guess. No. Seems like it's longevity. Yeah, would be more sensible. So. In verse 7, the angel of Jehovah is camping all around those fearing him. And he rescues them. And then verse 8 is interesting. Taste and see. This is a very memorable scripture too. I remember this one. Taste and see that Jehovah is good. Taste and see that Jehovah is good. You know, you've got to taste it. You know, the other thing is if you don't know what something is, you should taste it. Then you'll know what it is, right? As long as you know it's not deadly poison. If you taste curare or cyanide, you can die instantly by just tasting it. You don't taste just anything, right? But you can taste Jehovah to see that he's good. But you would not... I mean, you can taste many different... curare, I think, is a white powder. I think cyanide's a white powder. There are a lot of other things that are white powders, like cocaine, heroin, all sorts of white powders, that would... Some of them would be safer than curare or cyanide, definitely, as far as tasting them goes. Once you know what it is, you know it's not icing sugar, then you know, you shouldn't be... But you shouldn't eat icing sugar. Probably icing sugar is very bad to eat. I've already learned that sugar is bad. But if it's not, what could it be? White flour. If it's not white flour, you know, you learn that it's not white flour. The white flour is bad to eat. That means, I mean, all of these things are bad. Anything ground up very fine, like starch that's very finely ground, is not good for you to eat, I mean. So I guess maybe all the white powders are bad for us. I wonder if that's possible. I doubt that's possible. Well, salt. If Himalayan salt can be ground up very fine, it can be good for us. My foot powder is sort of white. It has some black hull powder in it. Black walnut hull powder in it, but it's basically white. And it's not edible, though, is it? No, it probably is edible. No. You wouldn't eat it. You probably shouldn't. You shouldn't eat it, but it's probably not poisonous. But no, maybe not all white powders are bad for us, because you could make a vitamin powder that was white, I suppose. You know, but... A lot of white powders are not good for us. A lot of them. Including all the drugs that are white in powder form. All drugs are bad for us, is what I believe, because they're not a nutrient. They're not intended to help our health. Therefore, they're bad, and they're creating undesired processes in the body that are, you know, hurting our brain. Usually is the biggest thing to worry about harming, but they hurt our body, including our liver and so on. All of our body eventually is going to die in the way that we're, unless we can find out what the secret is for the right combination of vitamins, maybe, right? Is it possible? Can we find that? Maybe, right? We shouldn't give up. I've got to try harder. I know that. So let's see what we can do. Now, I've learned my lesson about Isaiah. I learned my lesson. What time is it? I think we're nearly... Yeah, we're still good. We're on the 14th of Isaiah. Is that right? Yeah. November 4th, Isaiah 14. And this is a long one? Oh, yeah, it's long. I think we need to read continually in order to get the flow going and keep it going so that we get a sense of what these books are saying. So let's keep reading, little children. For Jehovah will show mercy to Jacob, and he is yet certain to choose Israel, and he will actually give them rest upon their soil, and the alien resident must be joined to them, and they must attach themselves to the house of Jacob. And peoples will actually take them and bring them to their own place, and the house of Israel must take them to themselves as a possession upon the soil of Jehovah, as men servants and as maid servants, and they must become the captors of those holding them captive. And they must have in subjection those who were driving them to work. And it must occur in the day when Jehovah gives you rest from your pain and from your agitation and from the hard slavery in which you were made a slave. That you must raise up this proverbial saying against the king of Babylon and say, how has the one driving others to work come to a stop? The oppression come to a stop. Jehovah has broken the rod of the wicked ones, the staff of the ruling ones, the one striking peoples in fury with a stroke incessantly, the one subduing nations in sheer anger with a persecution without restraint. The whole earth has come to rest, has become free of disturbance. People have become cheerful with joyful cries. Even the juniper trees have also rejoiced at you, the cedars of Lebanon, saying, ever since you have lain down, no woodcutter comes up against us. Even Sheol underneath has become agitated at you in order to meet you on coming in. At you it has awakened those impotent in death, all the goat-like leaders of the earth. It has made all the kings of the nations get up from their thrones. All of them speak up and say to you, have you yourself also been made weak like us? Is it to us that you have been made comparable? Down to Sheol your pride has been brought, the din of your stringed instruments. Beneath you maggots are spread out as a couch, and worms are your covering. End quote. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, you shining one, son of dawn. How you have been cut down to the earth, you who were disabling the nations. As for you, you have said in your heart, to the heavens I shall go up. Above the stars of God I shall lift up my throne, and I shall sit down upon the mountain of meeting in the remotest parts of the north. I shall go up above the high places of the clouds. I shall make myself resemble the Most High. End quote. However, down to Sheol you will be brought, to the remotest parts of the pit. Those seeing you will gaze even at you. They will give close examination even to you, saying, is this the man that was agitating the earth, that was making kingdoms rock, that made the productive land like the wilderness, and that overthrew its very cities, and that did not open the way homeward even for his prisoners? End quote. All other kings of the nations, yes, all of them have lain down in glory, each one in his own house. But as for you, you have been thrown away without a burial place for you. Like a detested sprout, clothed with killed men, stabbed with the sword, that are going down to the stones of a pit, like a carcass trodden down. You will not become united with them in a grave, because you brought your own land to ruin. You killed your own people. To time indefinite, the offspring of evildoers will not be named. Make ready, you people, a slaughtering block for his own sons because of the error of their forefathers, that they may not rise up and actually take possession of the earth and fill the face of the productive land with cities. And I will rise up against them is the utterance of Jehovah of armies, and I will cut off from Babylon name and remnant, and progeny and posterity is the utterance of Jehovah. And I will make her a possession of porcupines and reedy pools of water, and I will sweep her with the broom of annihilation is the utterance of Jehovah of armies. Jehovah of armies has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have figured, so it must occur. And just as I have counseled, that is what will come true in order to break the Assyrian in my land, and that I may tread him down on my mountains, and that his yoke may actually depart from upon them, and that his very load may depart from upon their shoulder. This is the counsel that is counseled against all the earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations, for Jehovah of armies himself has counseled, and who can break it up? And his hand is the one stretched out, and who can turn it back? Oh, his hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died, this pronouncement occurred. Do not rejoice, O Philistia. Any one of you, just because the staff of the one striking you has been broken, for out of the root of the serpent there will come forth a poisonous snake, and its fruit will be a flying, fiery snake. And the firstborn ones of the lowly ones will certainly feed, and in security the poor ones themselves will lie down. And with famine I will put your root to death. And what remains over of you will be killed. Howl, O gate, cry out, O city. All of you must become disheartened, O Philistia. For out of the north the smoke is coming, and there is no one getting isolated from his ranks. And what will anyone say in answer to the messengers of the nation, that Jehovah himself has laid the foundation of Zion, and in her the afflicted ones of his people will take refuge? That's the end of Isaiah chapter 14. The fascinating thing here I noticed something here. Well, Ahaz was mentioned again, which means that this is probably has been talking about Ahaz maybe throughout this time period. Was all of these prophecies that we've been reading since the first mention of Ahaz may have been during the reign of Ahaz. That's what it could mean. It's one of the possibilities. That's one thing. So that would be ending the reign of Ahaz. He died in the year 725. Is that right? Or is it 726? In the genealogy, it's something like, it's either 725 or 726, let me think. Well, he reigned 16 years, so it's 725, yeah. I think so, yeah. But our calendar's not the same as theirs, so it doesn't have to be the same exact year. It should be close to 725 in our chronology, and that's the date that we have the beginning of the reign of his son, King Hezekiah. So that's why I'm saying 725 for the death. But yeah, he could have died the year before that, possibly, in our calendar. So the other thing I noticed here that was very memorable was, once again, Babylon is being, you know, prophesied against. Condemned or something, you know, told, prophesied against in a way that is not good. It's saying, Isaiah is speaking on behalf of Jehovah, saying Babylon will be made a possession of porcupines and reedy pools of water. There's another vivid illustration. He's going to annihilate her with the broom, or sweep her away with the broom of annihilation. Babylon will be destroyed. And it will be left, in verse 22, without name and remnant and progeny and posterity. He'll cut those things off from Babylon, Jehovah says. It's against Babylon. So when we read the earlier parts of this, chapter, we can see that he's talking about Babylon as well in this earlier part. This is a part of a prophecy against Babylon that we were reading. It's in chapter 13. It started. We read it yesterday, the pronouncement against Babylon. So it's continuing against Babylon here. And it must occur in the day when Jehovah gives you rest. You must take up this proverbial saying against the king of Babylon. So the Israelites were slaves in Babylon. That's why it's talking about them being slaves and the fact they're going to return to the soil of Jehovah is what it says. Or was that in Psalms it said that? No, there it is. In verse 2, upon the soil of Jehovah. They would take their captors to themselves as a possession upon the soil of Jehovah as men servants and maid servants. So the prisoners would become the captors. The prisoners would become the ones who are holding captive their present captors, the ones who have them as prisoner. So, but it's wonderful to read. We can delve into it deeper at different times. We don't have to get into it right now too much. What was I thinking? Was there another thought? I have thoughts that come up. I try to mention them right when I think of them so I don't forget, and I think I already mentioned it. Whatever occurred to me, I mentioned it before so I wouldn't forget, because I would otherwise not remember which verses I had something about which I wanted to say something. So many interesting things. The trees even speak here. The juniper trees are rejoicing. So trees are given personalities in the scriptures. The leaders of the earth are mentioned. The fact that the kings in verse, the trees are in verse 8, but the kings are mentioned in verse 9. All the kings of the nations get up from their thrones and they speak to Israel saying, have you yourself also been made weak like us? You know, they're weak. The leaders of the world are weak, is what it's saying. Down to Sheol, your pride has been brought. But, right, but then in verse 12, so Babylon was saying this, or the leaders, not Babylon, the leaders of the earth were saying, in this prophecy, they were saying to Israel, or to Isaiah, but it's to Israel, on behalf of Israel, that, or maybe it also obviously includes Isaiah because he was part of Israel. But Babylon, or not Babylon, the leaders, the kings of the nations, which would include Babylon, are saying to the Jews or to Isaiah that down to the grave your pride has been brought. In verse 11, down to Sheol your pride has been brought. Why are they saying that? But well, maybe Israel's still a prisoner, obviously, at this point. Israel's still a prisoner? No. Well, they're not a prisoner yet. This is a prophecy about Babylon. Yeah, right. So this is long in the future when Israel took prisoners. I mean, Babylon took prisoners. In 597, and even before that, but 597 and 587, they took prisoners in the BCE years, 597 and 587, and somewhere around 605 or something like that, they took prisoners for the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the third year or the fourth year in Daniel? In Daniel chapter 1, the third year of the kingship of Jehoiakim, they came to Jerusalem and proceeded to lay siege. Might have taken a while for that siege to be completed. So maybe he took them in the third year of Jehoiakim, maybe in the fourth year he took prisoners. But he did take prisoners. According to verse 2, he took them, brought them to the land of Shinar. Even the king of Judah says. It's interesting because that's a point that's not really talked about at all very much in the scriptures, that particular siege. And that's why it's been interpreted differently by some people, I suppose. But carrying on with what we were saying here, Israel had not even been taken prisoner by Babylon yet. We're in the time period 725 years before the Common Era, and they didn't take prisoners until 605 or sometime around there. That's really close. I mean, it's really far in the future. But I mean, it's not close to something. I didn't mean to say that. It's close to being an amazing. It is an amazing prophecy. Why did I say it was close to something? It's close to being what? Well, it's 100 years, right? It's more than 100 years. It's close to being 100 years and more. It is 100 years and more before it occurred, before they were even taken prisoner. Well, it's more than that because it's talking about when Babylon would be judged. That would be even longer after that, another 70 years, 60 some years later, when Babylon would be judged after that. So even Sheol underneath has become agitated at you. But look at this. In verse 12, Jehovah speaks back to the king of Babylon when Babylon says something bad about Israel. Jehovah says, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, you shining one. You who were disabling the nations," verse 12. Babylon was powerful, but not at this time when Isaiah is writing this. It's amazing. But where do we see the Assyrian? The Assyrian is in here, doesn't it mention the Assyrian in here? I think so. I thought there was an Assyrian in here, and that's why, in one of the previous chapters, I suppose that's why my subconscious wanted to say it was the Assyrians. Isaiah 14, look up Assyrian. Isaiah 14:25. In order to break the Assyrian in my land, fascinating, because at the time of Isaiah, the Assyrians were, marching around, evidently because they, in 722, they besieged Samaria. And so that wasn't very much later than this. It's only like 3 years later. So it's right at this time that they're besieging other places too. The Assyrians are marching around everywhere. They're just about to come and take Samaria. But it's interesting, in order to break the Assyrian in my land, is in harmony with that idea that the Assyrians were powerful at that time of Isaiah, and the Babylon had not yet arisen as this great world power. But it's interesting. It's fascinating. It's wonderful to have the chronology figured out. I've worked hard myself, but many other researchers have worked on providing information about the chronology of the time of all of these events. You know, many things have been done, you know, with the intent of learning what the true chronology is, and we're all trying to find it, and we've been trying to find it, and I believe we have found it, actually. That's why I'm so... we should be thankful to Jehovah, but I'm very eager to share my chronology, the genealogy, with other people. Yeah, I started researching it because I wanted to know about my family history. That was the thing. That was my motivation. So in John 14, are we out of time? Not quite. Is this a long chapter? Not too long. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Exercise faith in God. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's just told Peter that Peter's going to deny him three times before a cock crows. Exercise faith in God. Exercise faith also. Exercise faith in God. Exercise faith also in me. In the house of my Father there are many abodes. Otherwise I would have told you, because I'm going my way to prepare a place for you. Also, if I go my way and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will receive you home to myself. And where I am, you also may be. And where I am going, you know the way. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you men had known me, you would have known my Father also. From this moment on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you men so long a time, and yet, Philip, you have not come to know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father also. How is it you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in union with the Father, and the Father is in union with me? The things I say to you men, I do not speak of my own originality, but the Father who remains in union with me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in union with the Father, and the Father is in union with me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Most truly I say to you, he that exercises faith in me, that one also will do the works that I do, and he will do works greater than these, because I am going my way to the Father. Also, whatever it is that you ask in my name, I will do this, in order that the Father may be glorified in connection with the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will observe my commandments, and I will request the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of the truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither beholds it nor knows it. You know it, because it remains with you and is in you. I shall not leave you bereaved. I am coming to you. A little longer, and the world will behold me no more, and you will behold me, because I live, and you will live. In that day you will know that I am in union with my Father, and you are in union with me. And I am in union with you. He that has my commandments and observes them, that one is he who loves me. In turn, he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will plainly show myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what has happened that you intend to show yourself plainly to us and not to the world? In answer, Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will observe my word, and my Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our abode with him. He that does not love me does not observe my words. And the word that you are hearing is not mine, but belongs to the Father who sent me. While remaining with you, I have spoken these things to you, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things and bring back to your minds all the things I told you. I leave you peace. I give you my peace. I do not give it to you the way that the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them shrink for fear. You heard that I said to you, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going my way to the Father, because the Father is greater than I am. So now I have told you before it occurs, in order that when it does occur, you may believe. I shall not speak much with you anymore, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has no hold on me, but in order for the world to know that I love the Father, even as the Father has given me commandment to do, so I am doing. Get up. Let us go from here. That is John chapter 14. Oh, look. What? They've received the item below and have issued my refund. That's curious. Because I did not send it back. I still have it. They've issued me a refund for the arrowroot. It's very strange. I still have it. It's right here. No, I didn't send it back, so it's rather odd, but it's not really worrisome. They've refunded me $17, so I can either decide that I'm going to do something to tell them that I didn't make that refund or whatever, or but they received it. Somebody has sent back some arrowroot, is what they're saying, and on my behalf. Who am I to argue with them? I don't know. So anyway, that's the way, if they want to, I mean, that's the way Jehovah does things. It's not how I understand anything. I don't understand anything Jehovah does. I mean, he just does things the way he does things. It makes me feel a little bit better, I guess, about the loss of $400, right, to get a little bit of money back. But I mean, this is we're done our reading, so we're just going to wrap it up here. I guess that's all I need to do now, and then I need to publish this and then try and get outside before the day is over, which will be, it's going to be ending quickly, but I'm probably pretty tired today, so I don't really need to do a lot of work today. Probably I'll probably try and gather a few leaves or something, or maybe a few sticks of wood, and try to get ready for if I gather wood, it will be trying to get the sticks ready to go out to the garbage, or maybe I can collect a little firewood, or I don't think it's too late to do anything like sharpen. I can't sharpen my chainsaws during the daytime because it's just, I'm busy. I've got enough things to do. Oh, I could wet my concrete again, or think about it. It's so warm these days. The concrete will still, you don't want to get concrete wet and then have it freeze. So I got to make sure it's not going to be freezing outside, but there's 3 days when it shouldn't freeze. But I probably shouldn't wet it very much anymore. But I've got to think about what I'm going to do today. But I can wear my old Merrells too. I don't want to wear my new. I wanted to mention that I don't want to. I probably didn't mention this yet. I don't want to wear my new work boots for doing the leaves because they can get damaged. The leather on the boot can get damaged by the sharp twigs. And it does get damaged. I've learned that already. So I shouldn't wear those new boots. I can wear my old boots and see how those are. They're not in bad condition anymore. They don't have any odor. They smell fresh. You know, they're good. So they're serviceable again. I can try the new insoles in them, or try some insoles in those boots and see how that works. Or I've got these new rubber insoles I can use now too. One of them's old. One is new. But I've now got two serviceable blue rubber insoles that I can use. Maybe I can clean the dirty one, try to get it clean. But no, it's actually, if I try to clean it, I might damage it too. I can just use my foot powder. But my foot powder is quite interesting. So I didn't want to do anything, you know, to hurt Amazon. So maybe they're just rewarding me by refunding me some money. I don't understand that, but I definitely don't want to hurt anybody since I don't know what happened to the package, right? I don't know whether anything happened to it, if it was stolen or whatever. Something bad happened. I can sense that, right? I can sense that something happened. I felt bad about not getting the package, of course, but I also felt bad on behalf of somebody else. It felt like I could feel some other bad feeling somewhere. But if, I mean, we want to be happy. We want to love our enemies. We want to be happy for anyone who, if somebody robs us, we should be, it's like persecution, we should be joyful. We need to be joyful. We need to rejoice in that. And it is a great blessing. It's a great blessing because it makes us rethink everything. And we never get to do that otherwise. If everything goes smoothly, we never rethink. We never learn. This way I'm learning a lot about my workshop and how I can improve it. And I don't need that second table. I can just improve my workshop. And I can build my own table. I've got all the lumber in the world. I've got some of the steel, too, in the world. I've got some. I could build something out of steel that would be, I don't need anything of steel, probably, for welding. I've got one alloy steel bench now that I can use. That will keep, you know, that will be used to keep the wood from catching fire. And then I can do all my welding. I should be able to, like that. Or if not, I can get another welding table. The beauty of it is I didn't get the other welding table, which means I have a new opportunity to research everything again. And I'm doing that. I'm researching saw horses. They're another option. There's a device that can grab something and be it height adjustable. It's just one single type of jaw horse, it's called. There's all these different things that I never thought to research before. Now I need to research again and find out. It's just that the thing I already know is that welding tables are incredibly expensive. They're ridiculously expensive. And steel is very expensive. That's why these are expensive. And if you get galvanized steel, it's not the best for welding. So I'm trying to avoid that, but if it gets too hot, it will emit very poisonous fumes, so you don't really want galvanized. But a lot of welding tables are galvanized, and I don't want that. So, I've got a new lease on life. If somebody steals something from you, that means you get a new lease on life. You get to redo it. You know, I mean, you get to start again, decide what to purchase. Or you could buy a different thing than you had before. You get to recalibrate and redo everything from that point where you didn't have that item. So I'm thinking, you know, I do want one more support, and I've got a table in the basement I can use, so I don't really need it. I don't need this other table, but I didn't know I could use that table that I have at all. I didn't know how hard it would be. I had no idea because I didn't know how high this bench would adjust. Even when they give you dimensions and they tell you the height, they're never necessarily accurate. You have to buy the item, check the height. But as I explained before, I could not have justified buying only one of these tables. I wanted to buy two. Then I'd know I'd have two the same height and be able to do things. But getting a new lease on life, knowing I already have another table that will be the right height now with just with one little layer of plywood on top of it, it'll be the right height. So I'm not worried at all. But I could buy some. I've got my own sawhorses that are hung up, but they're just not high enough in height. But I could buy new sawhorses that are adjustable in height. There's a lot of options, but I want them to be steel, preferably. I need two sawhorses because I need it to be like a table. But I could build my own table out of steel, right? And I could, you can buy steel frames. I could build a steel frame out of steel. I could put casters on it. I could do all sorts of things. But none of it matters unless it's in the context of an overall plan that makes sense in the workshop itself, so that I can do things in the shop and they don't bang into each other. You know, it's all about planning. Like, the workshop has been organized over many years of planning. All the tools are positioned in that shop, not over many years, but they were positioned that way initially for a good reason. Planning of how long the wood would be that I was working with and where it would have to pass so that I could get things moved in the shop while I'm working with the materials and use the tools. All the positioning was done with everything in mind. So I'm getting an opportunity to rethink it all now because I'm doing welding, right? But not having that second table is a benefit to me because I get to rethink the planning of the shop, knowing now that I have one of these tables and what it can do. What other object or thing do I need besides, well, I can use the table I already have. But what else could I do now? I get to rethink it all. If I had two of those tables, I wouldn't be rethinking from as early a point, you know, from as early on in the planning stage. I get to rethink some of the planning, replan. I get to replan and redesign. That's the word, redesign. I get to redesign this whole idea of how I'm going to do welding. I get to start over. It's a do-over. If that table had appeared and not disappeared, I would be worse off in the sense that I wouldn't be able to do that replanning and redesign. So it's always a blessing. Everything is always a blessing where it can be viewed that way. That's absolutely true, and it's very important to understand that, and that's why we should rejoice when something happens like that. If somebody stole your car, well, wouldn't be good, right? But it would be an opportunity to get a new car. It's one opportunity, right? You might have to get a new car, and it might not be something that is all that great if you can't afford it, but if having a new car might be great though, right? So think about the positive of everything, positive aspects. So we're just about at our time, and it's Ward Green here. It's November 4th, 2022, 1540 hours. We've done Psalm 34, Isaiah 14, and John 14 today. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. And love one another, Jesus commanded us in John chapter 13. That's what we learned yesterday. That's what we read yesterday, that Jesus commanded his disciples a new commandment, that we love one another. That was how he said that everybody would know that we were his disciples if we loved one another. So, bye for now. Enjoy your day. Thanks for watching. Welcome, all new ones. I love you. Bye for now.